Cities invites you to a public open house on the Angoon Airport, Tuesday, October 3rd, from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Angoon Community Association, with a brief presentation at 6 p.m. In 2016, the FAA selected Alternative 12A in their Record of Decision. Now, DOT is moving forward to develop and refine an airport layout and design. This message is sponsored by the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Good morning. It's 8:16. I'm Sarah Gibson, and in the studio this morning we have Connie Sipe. She is a member of the advisory board of the Greater Sitka Legacy Fund. Welcome, Connie.
Thanks, Sarah. Good to be here.
Let's just start with the basics. What is the Greater Sitka Legacy Fund?
Well, it's a fairly new organization. We came into being in late 2013, and we are basically Sitka's community foundation. If you're playing Monopoly, we're the community foundation. And we are the only fund that's available for people to leave both current and future gifts to for the entire community, for any need that would arise. We are an affiliate of something called the Alaska Community Foundation. And through that, the Alaska Community Foundation and the Rasmussen Foundation, we're part of Rasmussen's effort to grow community philanthropy and giving and preparedness to help support our nonprofits in the future. So we're called an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation.
And when did you get started?
We applied in 2013 and started in early 2014 when we were accepted into a challenge match by the Community Foundations and Rasmussen.
And tell us about the kinds of funds you've been giving out to organizations and projects over the last couple of years.
Well, as our own fund is still in a growth mode, from local donations and match from Rasmussen, Rasmussen has each year given all of the affiliates, including us and Sitka, $5,000 for grant making, just to show what we can do eventually and will grow over time. So we have had usually one grant cycle a year, and we've tried to look at, are there any immediate community needs that are most pressing? Most of our grant cycles have been just wide open, community, capital, or operating needs. But for instance, because we're on the ground and we're here, we know local needs, our grant cycle at the beginning of 2016, we had all just been through the crisis of the landslide. And so we made our first priority for any grant that addressed needs of the emergency rescue system here in town. And so that led to a grant being given, an application, and then we gave a grant to the Sitka Volunteer Fire Department for a second rescue saw. This is an expensive proposition. It has a diamond blade, and we fully funded their needs so that they would have that second piece of equipment. There were other grants for other purposes, but that's the nice thing about a community foundation is you can have your pulse, you can feel the pulse of the community.
And what about this year? It sounds like this is actually the second time you've been offering grants in 2017.
It is. Rasmussen started another four-year challenge this year with all the affiliates. We have a chance. We've got a little over $250,000 in our endowment fund, and we can raise that much more. If we raise half of it, Rasmussen will match it over the next 4 years. So they this year have given us two $5,000 gifts. The first one we gave to the Sitka Playground effort. Again, seeing that as a really widely supported community effort. Right now, on Monday, October 2nd, we'll open another grant round with $5,000 gift from Rasmussen and $7,000 from the earnings on Sitka's own fund. So we've decided we'll give away up to $12,000 this time, which is the largest pool we have had for grant making.
And so how do people and organizations in Sitka apply for that?
Well, it's an online application, and you go to Alaska Community Foundation, and that's alaskacf.org. Do not go to ACF. You will get the American Chestnut Foundation. You want to go to alaskacf for communityfoundation.org. When you get to the front page on Monday, there ought to be a news blurb about Sitka's grants opening. But if you don't see that or you go sooner, look up in the tabs at the top and look at, there's a tab called Affiliates, and this shows all the communities that have affiliate community foundations. You'll find the Greater Sitka Legacy Foundation. You'll go to our homepage, and there you will see a link about our grants, and you'll open it. It'll give you the competitive guidelines. There's an online grant writing tutorial, and on Monday, there will be the actual application available online.
And what's sort of the range of funds that you're able to give out this fall?
Well, we're aiming for between $1,000 to $3,000 per grant. We have had applications in the past as small as $500, and so anything is possible.
Great. And you were saying that there's an online tutorial for folks just on how to fill out that form and how to complete a grant application, but I know it can sometimes be sort of daunting. If someone wants to just sort of check that their project or organization would be the kind of thing you're looking for, who do they contact to sort of run that by?
Well, if you, in fact, go to the page online, GSLF announces its 2017 grant cycle, you'll see that you're encouraged to, you can either talk to someone up at Alaska Community Foundation in Anchorage, and they give you a phone number, or you can talk to our part-time program assistant, Robin Sherman, and we give you her email there.
Great.
And if you know people in town, there's people on the board are Mike Vandenberg, Molly Kabler, Karen Grusendorf, Pam Steffies, Chip Lewin from the Coast Guard, myself. I'm probably forgetting three people. But you can also talk to any of us that you know and just run the idea past us.
Great. And you were saying to me earlier today that you will be funding people, groups either coming to Sitka or events in Sitka. You're not funding travel outside of Sitka. You really want to make sure that the funding goes to projects happening in town.
Oh, that's true. And you'll see that there are our competitive grant guidelines are posted on this page online at Alaska CF Affiliates, Greater Sitka Legacy Fund. And one of them is that we prefer not to fund travel out of Sitka.
Okay. And those applications are up October 2nd until November?
Until November 2nd. Then
okay,
they'll close.
For a month. I guess my last question is just, can you remind us why is this important? And I guess why are you doing this?
Well, I'm doing this because I have been involved in the nonprofit world for a long time. I'm executive director at Center for Community, and I love this community, and I like to see more of us remember and leave legacy here. So helping this community foundation when we had a chance to get going with some match from Rasmussen to get to a significant amount of money in our fund, then after a period of short-term fundraising, then hopefully we can also move more into encouraging people to give from their estates, to send ahead, think ahead, and plan that. And I think it's important because it's the only fund available for any purpose in Sitka, for anything in Sitka. And I think that that is where we got the concept of building a legacy for our community into the indefinite future.
Thanks so much, Connie, for coming and joining us this morning. That's Connie Sipe of the Greater Sitka Legacy Fund, and their applications for small funds start next Tuesday, Monday,
2nd.
October 2nd, the day before the elections. Thanks so much for coming in, Connie.
Thanks for having us, Sarah.
Come on, Sassy, sing it again.
All together now, here's to Sitka, here's to its people, here's to the wild and here's to the free, here's to my life in this chosen city, here's to Sitka and me.
Reunite with Sassy and friends at the all-new Paris of the Pacific, a play about Sitka for Sitka, September 29th and 30th at the Nakahiti Community House. Tickets on sale now at Old Harbor Books, brought to you by the Greater Sitka Arts Council, with special thanks to Search and Sitka Pioneers Home.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 27th of September, 2017. It was on this date, 1825, the first steam-powered passenger railway began service in England. Train went from Shildon to Stockton, preceded by a man on horseback carrying a banner that read, Periculum privatum utilitas publica, the private danger is the public good. About 600 people aboard, most of them riding in open coal cars, the dignitaries in a passenger coach. The inventor of the steam engine, George Stephenson, rode on the footplate. A brass band boarded the train at Yarm to complete the journey. It's the birthday of Jack Kerouac's girlfriend, Joyce Johnson, born New York City, 1935. She wrote a book about it, Minor Characters, A Young Woman's Coming of Age in the Beat Orbit of Jack Kerouac. She wrote, artists are nourished more by each other than by fame or by the public. To give one's work to the world is an experience of peculiar emptiness. The work goes away from the artist into a void, like a message stuck into a bottle and flung into the sea. It's the birthday of Carrie Brownstein, born in Seattle, 1974, co-founder of the punk rock band Sleater-Kinney and co-developer of the comedy show Portlandia, of which she said, "I live in a city where fleece is considered an appropriate fabric for any event." It was on this day in 1962 Rachel Carson's book Silent Spring was published. Many scientists had published work before her that questioned the widespread use of pesticides, including DDT, but Carson gathered these reports in one place and wrote a book that people enjoyed reading. The New Yorker serialized it in the summer of 1962. It came out. It was a huge bestseller. And Carson, though she was very ill from her cancer treatments, appeared on many TV shows to promote it. Chemical companies backed by the U.S. Department of Agriculture were not fans of the book. They tried to sue Carson and her publisher, and the New Yorker spent $250,000 on a campaign calling her a hysterical woman and a communist. She died of breast cancer in April 1964, but she lived to see the book's commercial success, though not to see the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act, the Occupational Safety and Health Act, or the Environmental Protection Agency, all of which came about due in some part to her book, Silent Spring. Here's a poem for today by Kay Ryan, Flamingo Watching. Wherever the flamingo goes, she brings a city's worth of furbelows. She seems unnatural by nature, too vivid and peculiar a structure to be pretty, and flexible to the point of oddity. Perched on those legs, anything she does seems like an act, descending on her egg or draping her head along her back. She's too exact and sinuous to convince an audience she's serious. The natural elect, they think, would be less pink, less able to relax their necks, less flamboyant in general. They privately expect that it's some poorly jointed, bland, gray animal with mitts for hands whom God protects. The poem by Kay Ryan, Flamingo Watching, from her collection The Best Of It, published by Grove Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Home Advisor, matching homeowners with background-checked professionals for home projects from minor repairs to major remodels. See homeowner reviews, compare prices, and book appointments at homeadvisor.com. And by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, now available on iOS devices, subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
This program is brought to you by Subway of Sitka, now featuring autumn-carved turkey with thick-cut turkey breast, cranberry mustard sauce, and cheddar cheese for a limited time. Located at 327 Seward Street, Subway is celebrating 20 years serving Sitka.
The following is a statement from one of the seven candidates running for Sitka's Assembly. The opinions are those of the author, and not necessarily shared by board, staff, or volunteers.
My name is Kitty Sopo, and I am a write-in candidate for the Sitka Assembly. Since registering to run as a write-in candidate, many of you have come to me to discuss your views on city issues. Others have come to me and disclosed how hard it is to run as a write-in, especially since many haven't had the opportunity to know me and where I stand on the city's issues. I've genuinely enjoyed this aspect of the campaign, that is, listening to the concerns of Sitka's diverse community. For those of you who have yet to meet me, I enjoy working with people. As an anthropologist, I have been involved with many different kinds of people throughout my career. This experience has shown me that people do the best work they can no matter what. I'm running for assembly to add my skill set to the table, a table that hosts some of the finest folks in town, folks that citizens like you have elected to represent this town and your concerns. Sitka is a great and beautiful place with a constant stream of implications facing the city's boards, commissions, and assembly. Problems exist. To solve these problems, we must interact with them in a particular context. Our context, an island town with a rich history of sustainability and growth. My task will not simply be to figure out how to solve the problem, but to discover in the first place what the problem is and how it should be approached. Assembly candidates should be judged based on what they can do, not what they already know. When initially faced with a problem, our assembly members should be unsure of what needs to be done. Their decisions should be made only after gathering quality information about how the problem was formed, who it has impacted, and how to mitigate that impact. As Sitka changes, so too will the criteria for our policymakers. I see Sitka as a community that has the capacity to offer many opportunities for young, single adults and the next generation of families. I recognize that the cost of living is discouraging to young, up-and-coming families who wish to settle here. I see Sitka as a community with a lot of unmet needs for our elders. Our population is aging. The number of individuals who are 65 years and older will increase by 50% in the next 10 years. My numerous conversations with community members has raised an alarm. The amount of elder care needed in this town is about to expand, but is there a plan in place to care for our elders? If elected to City Assembly, I will offer tolerance and patience. Because I'm intellectually and socially curious, I look forward to learning and trying new things to make Sitka a more healthy, affordable, and prosperous community. As an assembly member, I can promise that I will listen, stay engaged, and empower the residents of this town. My name is Kitty Sopo, and that's spelled S-O-P-O-W, and I'm a write-in candidate for the Sitka Assembly.
That was a statement from one of the seven candidates running for Sitka's Assembly. Absentee ballots are available now, and elections will be held at Harrigan Centennial Hall on Tuesday, October 3rd.
Good morning. The time is 8:34, and it's 61 degrees outside, with light rain and fog and mist here in Sitka. Earlier today, we heard on Raven News a profile of Sitka Assembly candidate Sheila Finkenbinder. She shared her approach to Sitka's hospital debate, small business development, and more. We also heard from Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld about this year's reforms to the Alaska Marine Highway System, which could include smaller, more efficient vessels and new labor contracts. Also, contaminated soil has been discovered at Old City Shops, the site of future affordable housing in Sitka. Last night, the Assembly approved funds to help with the cleanup. There will be more on the Assembly meeting in tonight's Raven News. We have a PSA here from the Harbor Department. Please check your vessels to make sure your lines are tied and your vessels are pumped out. They say thank you for that. It's a heavy rain expected throughout today into tonight across the panhandle. And yesterday in Sitka, there were about 5 inches of rain in the course of just a couple of hours yesterday afternoon. Looking ahead to the community calendar, later today there will be an AmeriCorps luncheon at 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. That is honoring firefighters and other service personnel. That's at the Harrigan Centennial Hall. There is also a chamber lunch today at 11:30 a.m. until 12:30. Candidates for Sitka School Board are featured. That's at Westmark Hotel Banquet Room. And this evening, there is a doc talk. Dr. Janice Schufelt presents a free talk entitled Understanding Opioid and Alcohol Addiction. That's from 6 to 7 at the Sitka Public Library. And at 7 p.m. this evening, Sitka Tlingit storyteller Bob Sam gives a presentation on Sitka cemeteries and the histories and stories they contain. That's from 7 to 9 today at Sitka National Historic Park. This is part of the Sesquicentennial Speakers Series. And books are sought at Sitka Public Library for the annual Alaska Day book sale. They're seeking gently used books, CDs, and DVD donations. For more information, call 747-4022. And tomorrow, there will be Books in Conversation at 12:15 until 1:15. An Altar of the World is being read by Barbara Brown Taylor. And if you have questions, you can call 747-3977. Tomorrow evening, there is an event at the Beak Sitka Tells Tales. The theme tomorrow is Point of No Return Stories When There Is No Turning Back. That's at 7 p.m. And the suggested donation is $5. For more information, call 738-2174. And we also have tomorrow night, 6 p.m., Community Board Game Night. That's from 6 to 8 at the Beak. And on Friday, there are a couple events happening. There will be a wine tasting at Elks Hall Fall Harvest Festival. That's from 6 to 8 on Friday. There is also a speaker coming to the Island Institute from 7 to 9 p.m. on Friday. Elsa Sebastian recently bushwhacked across threatened lands on Prince of Wales Island, and she will speak about the expedition. Refreshments are available. And also on Friday at 7 p.m., Paris of the Pacific will be presented from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Shitkakuan Nakahiti. This is presented by the Greater Sitka Arts Council, and tickets are $15 at Old Harbor Books. And on Saturday, there's going to be a free hazardous waste collection from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the wastewater treatment plant. Paris of the Pacific will also be this weekend at 3 p.m., and at 7 p.m. on Saturday. Hazard Waste Collection will also be on Sunday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And you can find all of that information and much more always at our community calendar, kcaw.org. We have a Good Day Radio show coming up at 9 a.m. this morning. Make sure to stay tuned for that. We also have a muskeg message here this morning. Someone has lost a set of three keys, likely somewhere between Harry Race and Mountain Miss. The keys are on a red Honda Motors tag. If found, please call 747-6075. And that's it for Raven News. Stay tuned for the Good Day Radio show at 9 a.m. It's 20 minutes before 9 o'clock. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.
In Saudi Arabia, women are celebrating the king's decision allowing women to drive.
As a woman, I really feel that my self-dignity and respect is returned.
That's Madiha Al-Agroush, who we reached by Skype. She has been defying the ban, sometimes alongside groups of protesting women, for decades.
Driving in 1990 was really not about me. It was about the quest for all women to have the freedom of mobility.
Well, as of next summer, she'll be able to drive without reprisal. Deborah Amos covers the Middle East for NPR. She has reported on efforts to lift this ban in Saudi Arabia, and she joins us now. Hey there, Deb.
Good morning.
This seems like a really big deal. Do we know why it has happened now?
You know, the young and powerful crown prince, also the son of the king, he's been signaling that this was going to happen for a while. This is part of larger social reforms.